Support for WPR comes from Tomorrow River Community Virtual School, delivering Waldorf-inspired live virtual lessons to grades 4K through 8th, open to all Wisconsin students. More is at trcvs.org.
There have been some big changes on the air on both of Wisconsin Public Radio's main broadcast networks. We'll talk about those and other news on this edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Monday, February 4th. WPR Director Mike Crane joins us today as he does the first Monday of almost every month, or thereabouts. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
It's always good to be here.
Now, we've got a big change. We better start there. Ad Issue host Ben Marins announced a week ago today, actually, that last week was his last week with us here on the Ideas Network.
That's right. And he had an emotional but really wonderful show on Friday, saying goodbye. And most of all, and this was something he said, he wanted to say thank you to listeners for the incredible time he had with them. And, you know, we knew as soon as Ben announced on last Monday that he was going that we'd have a lot of reaction from listeners, and we sure have. And a lot of people saying essentially, boy, will we miss him. You know, it's true of radio generally that it's a part of your everyday life. I reflect often on the fact that radio is something that's in your bedroom, it's in your car, sometimes it's on the shower radio, you know, and it's in your office and so on. And so people really do feel an intimate connection. And, you know, I know Ben was talking a lot about change in the last few months, a lot of his show topics related to that. And so it clearly was on his mind, and we wish him the best of luck.
Well, if you want to share your wishes for Ben or questions about Wisconsin Public Radio in general, you can join the show at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Send an email to talk@WPR.org. Well, we've got, as you mentioned, Mike, just a lot of response. So you can go to the Ad Issue Facebook page to see just lots of responses to Ben's announcement last week. Here's some that came into audience services here. I'm a frequent caller to Ben Marins' show. I'm sad to hear of his move to another career venture. There are not a lot of genuine down-to-earth people like Ben on the radio. He'll be deeply missed. Here's one, and it was noted that this person was very emotional. I want to let you folks know you're losing a heck of a treasure. I am so emotional. You know, I want my voice to be heard. And going on, we see a lot of that talk about emotions surrounding this. And I think we forget sometimes, or from where I sit, I forget how connected people are to us, to the people they hear each and every day on the Ideas Network.
Well, because whether it's you or Joy or Ben or any of our hosts, you're thinking about the next show all the time, as opposed to maybe your effect on someone's life. And so we are just very moved ourselves, all of us, by comments whenever they come in like this. And I know that John Munson, who is the immediate substitute host, while we figure out what's the, you know, the future for Ad Issue in the long run, feels humbled by the opportunity and also excited, of course. And I know he's planning a subject today that is very dear to everybody's hearts, and that is talking about jobs and whether it's jobs or training for jobs, what is it that's necessary to deal with a worker skills gap. And so John is looking forward to that show today. And the thing that comes up all the time, well, what about the features that people have really valued? And as Ben said on Friday, the expectation is that at least for now, while we figure things out, we're going to just keep going. So
we'll
your views
Econ,
on the news and
Econ 101.
You got it. And so John will be doing those very same segments, and we'll take it from there.
And we also had a big change on our other network, the NPR News and Classical Music Network. I think you talked to Joy about that when you were on back in January, but that's happening now. First, remind us what the changes are.
So actually, there were a couple of changes, one of which I think has been just about universally received with excitement, which is that Higher Ground has added an hour later into the evening on Saturday evenings. And a lot of people love that show. I've met people who dance during the show with the music and so on. And so that's, I think, gone very well. I think the other change, which is that All Things Considered has been extended an additional hour into the evening, and the rest of the programs stack up a little bit later, Fresh Air and the music program, I'm blanking on the name of it right now, Exploring Music, mm-hmm. there we go. Mm-hmm. Those are on a little bit later. And, you know, whenever we make a change, Audience Services tells us they expect almost all negative comments mm-hmm. In the emails and phone calls they get. And about two-thirds of the comments were concerned in one way or another about the change, whether it was a loss of that hour of classical music or they didn't like the new schedule because they'd miss Marketplace or whatever. But they were really struck that about a third of the comments were very positive. And I ran into someone who said, I couldn't wait for that change. Thank goodness that you've made that. I've been waiting for years. That's the way it is on the public radio station I listen to elsewhere when I live there. And so, of course, the jury is always out until things have been changed for a while. But that's encouraging, and we really do think that just based on looking at what we saw in the audience research, that there were a few people listening to the classical music in the early evening, and they will definitely be affected. But more people will listen to WPR as a result of this extension is what we believe, and that's to the positive.
And now more generally, when we make a change at a public radio station, we're looking to serve people better, as I understand it. Mm-hmm. But there's that understanding that every change is rocking somebody's world and not necessarily in a good way. How do you weigh that desire to change things versus hurting those people who like things the way they are?
Well, there are a few things that, you know, in the olden days, so to speak, when there was just the one choice of your radio station, it was especially wrenching. Excuse me. And it's a little bit better now in that people have the option of listening on the internet, and we provide the two HD services that we have, both the Ideas Network in some places where it's needed because of coverage, and the full-time classical service are on our HD radio. So one of the things that I had a really nice interaction with a donor who was interested in having more classical music, not less, and we were able to give her an HD radio to try out and kind of on a loan basis, and got a note from her the other day saying that it's coming in great and that she now can listen to classical music 24/7. So that's kind of a nice option. But back to your question, because I don't know if I answered it. I'd say that the fundamental challenge of a broadcast medium, a mass medium, is that it's a shared resource, mm-hmm. and that we all listen as individuals, not as a group. And so trying to find something that works pretty well for most people is probably what you try to do.
And how much weight do you put on the complaints and angry response that comes in after any change? Do you go back and try to accommodate that later?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes mm-hmm. you just have to sort of say, well, we're going to wait and see what the new audience research tells us. And that's always a slower process than anyone would like, because with the exception of the very large cities, you don't really get information for months after you're making a change. And it's not our only measure. We try to use audience research and member comments and also surveys. We do listener surveys to all of our members every year to try to gauge how are we doing. Mm-hmm. And we do our best to arrive at something that works.
Talking to Mike Crane, he's director of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're going to, in just a few moments, get to some upcoming special programming on Wisconsin Public Radio, election-related things and lots of other stuff. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about what goes on the air on Wisconsin Public Radio and how we make the decisions we do. You can also send an email to talk@WPR.org. Well, Mike, I mentioned some special programming coming up. We're always doing some special stuff here. What's on the horizon?
I think one of the best things that we do are candidate forums, mm-hmm. and that's coming up here on the Joy Cardine Show. Ed Falone, one of the Supreme Court primary candidates, is going to be on tomorrow at 7 a.m. Pat Rogensack, who's the incumbent, tomorrow at 7:30, and then Vince Megna Thursday at 7 a.m. And we're probably going to do general election candidate forums the week of March 18th. Mm-hmm. That's something that's been a distinctive of Wisconsin Public Radio since before we were Wisconsin Public mm-hmm. Radio, when we were simply, in a lot of people's parlance, the state stations, that for many, many years we've been inviting statewide candidates to forums with our listeners. And it's incredibly well received, I think, because of that opportunity to interact with more or less the entire state over the issues that are in that office.
And that's something I've been doing. I remember in the late 90s, booking candidates for governor for Tom Clark on this morning's show. Why is that an important part of the service we provide here at WPR?
I think that in some ways it goes back to the founders of almost the inventors of public radio here, which was a belief that this shared resource we were talking about in terms of schedule change was also an opportunity to be a place where the public could discuss issues of importance. And who we elect, of course, is a big part of that. And so early on, the instinct was to invite all of those office folks. And so it's not just Republicans and Democrats. Mm-hmm. When there are others in primaries and in general elections, we'll invite the third-party candidates as well. And in most cases, they take us up on it, both the major party candidates and the alternative party candidates.
And it's an opportunity for listeners to ask questions of those candidates that
directly. That's
you
right.
Won't get very often. Again, tomorrow at 7, we'll have two of the candidates for the Supreme Court. Thursday at 7, we'll have the other one. And then we'll be watching that race and the race for the state superintendent of public instruction. There's no primary in that one, but we'll be covering that leading up to the general election. Well, what else do we have coming up? State of the Union, right?
Well, that's right. And that's going to be February 12th at 8 p.m. And also, we had the State of the State not long ago. And looking ahead to Wednesday, February 20th at 7 p.m., the state budget address, mm-hmm. which is much anticipated. A lot of people wondering what our governor is going to be indicating are the new programs. Where is the tax cut going to come out? And, how will that affect things like roads and all of the different programs of the state? And so right before that, so just one day before, we have the spring primary election coverage with news updates into the evening and try to get the results out and, of course, have them ready for the morning as well.
Right. And we'll be talking about everything you just talked about the next day on the morning show, the afternoon show at issue, probably 3 hours of coverage, I think, after the State of the Union. We devote a lot of time to that sort of thing. And the state budget address, we aired the State of the State not long ago, but a lot of people look at that as the prequel to the main event. The state
right.
budget is the big deal. So that's why we air that address.
It tells us what the governor is doing to set the agenda for the legislature.
And then we'll be writing things down and planning out shows. Oh, we could talk about that and that.
That's right. And of course, one of the things we'll continue to talk about rather at length, I think, between now and whenever the votes come is the mining legislation. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing some special coverage on our regional stations in the northern part of the state, where in addition to the news that you hear and the talk shows that you hear statewide, they've been broadcasting live coverage of the hearing that was done a few weeks ago and so on, because, of course, it's an acutely interesting topic in the Pinoki Range area and so on. And so we've been doing that. And, of course, that also generates coverage that Mike Simonson is able mm-hmm. to put into newscasts and so on. And I don't want to lose before we go to the break to mention with all the election coverage mm-hmm. we were talking about, WisconsinVote.org. That's our site we work with on the web with Wisconsin Public Television, not only to compile our coverage, but to do things like I did the other night. I was like, who are my new legislators again? It's mm-hmm. been a while since the election, and there's a link right on the site that takes you to the state website where you can figure that all out. And so it's all a utility for you as a voter, but also a place to kind of see the comprehensive coverage.
Yeah, I know usership of WisconsinVote.org tends to spike a lot on election night because we post returns there. But there's a lot of stuff from our reporters, from public television's reporters, and like you said, just a lot of the raw nuts and bolts information that people can turn to. So WisconsinVote.org.
Mm-hmm.
So some non-political special programming coming up. We had some news from Stephanie Elkins. What's going on with music coverage?
Well, she has a chance to substitute with Live from the Chazen here and there, which mm-hmm. is nice. Right now, she does the folk show most
sure.
of the time. But we also get to hear her during different classical music things, and that's really nice. And she is one of the folks that will be appearing at the Garden Expo. This is something that, we think of it mainly because we're here in Madison as a Madison event. But people come from really all over the Midwest to experience the Garden Expo. It's coming up this weekend. Stephanie's going to be there on the 10th, and Larry Mueller's going to be there. He's going to do a live reminiscence of the Wisconsin Governor Show or Wisconsin Gardener Show with Shelley, who's the host of that show but retiring, and lots more. That's all online at wigardenexpo.org. And I know it's a great chance. We have a booth there, and we interact with hundreds and hundreds of listeners. That's really enjoyable.
A little crossover there between public radio and public TV. Is that something we're going to try to do more in the future? I know we try to reach out to them when we think of it, but what kind of room for cooperation is there?
Well, there's two things going on. One is an ongoing project, which is called Quest, which is a science project where there might be radio stories, web stories, or television stories related to science, especially environmental science. We're continuing that. But what I'm really excited about is that the series that radio started a couple of years ago called Wisconsin Life, which we hear sometimes, we'll hear a segment from that on our Friday segment about telling Joy where to go. That's going to be also a bigger deal on the web, and we're going to be piloting with Wisconsin Public Television this summer some television programs that relate to it. And, you know, as I talk with my colleagues on public television side, you'd think, well, you guys probably work together all the time. Actually, no. Actually, it's harder than you might think, just because radio is a daily medium, busy with getting the next show out all the time and the next news report. And TV, in the context of our public television, is a weekly or even a monthly or longer lead time effort. And so just aligning almost our body clocks to make sure we work together is an interesting challenge. But we're so excited about this because there are a lot of stories you can tell in audio, and there are some that just need pictures. And so we think that's going to be an opportunity for us to build the whole Wisconsin Life idea into something even greater than we've already achieved.
So we do share donuts and cookies sometimes with our TV colleagues here at Vilas Hall, but we could do even more than that.
That's right.
That's Mike Crane. He's director of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Mondays with Mike, the first Monday of just about every month. He joins us to talk about the latest news behind the scenes here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Verrett filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow at this time, a special consumer edition of On Your Money. Kevin McKinley will be off, but we've got a consumer expert to help you making a big purchase, tell you what to watch out for, what to get, scams to beware of, and that sort of thing. That's tomorrow at this time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, talking to Mike Crane. He's the boss, and he's telling us what's going on behind the scenes at Wisconsin Public Radio. To the phones now at 800-642-1234, we have Stella in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Stella.
Hi. Mike, I'm calling in regards to the change on the Classical Music and News Network to All Things Considered.
Sure.
The program runs for 2 hours, and then it repeats.
That's right.
And as the schedule as it stands, the new schedule as it stands, puts Marketplace in conflict with On Point on the Ideas Network.
Right.
And we often like to listen to the first and or second hours of On Point. And I was wondering, would it be possible that since All Things Considered in Marketplace, you get them taped, would it be possible for you to play All Things Considered from 3 to 5 or 5:30? You know, with either the old half-hour repeat or 3 to 5, and then Marketplace from 5 to 5:30 and or 5:30 to 6, and then pick up again with All Things Considered to continue out until your new 7 o'clock ending for All Things Considered?
Yeah, we did talk about that, Stella. Thanks for raising the question. The wisdom of our program director, Mike Arnold, was that if given the choice, that listeners would prefer to have All Things Considered than Marketplace, that as great as Marketplace is, that it's a second choice to All Things Considered. And obviously, in your case, that's not the case. It sounds like you're kind of making your own radio station, which is great, by listening to both networks. And I understand the conflict that does create for you. From what I understand, you're probably like part of about a 20 or 30% group that listens to both networks back and forth like that. Do you do that at other times of day as well?
Generally, we listen to the news on the Classical Music and News Network, and then generally we'll listen to the Ideas Network.
Mm-hmm. So for you, you end up with a talking all-day network that has a lot of news in it, which makes sense, sure.
And often it depends on what fresh air topic is.
Yeah, and that's the challenge as well, is that it may be the topic that has people switching back and forth, and I'm glad that you do that and that that's an available strategy for you, even if the marketplace thing doesn't work out as well as you might like. We will be looking at that, though, as we evaluate how the new schedule is working and whether that might be an option in the future. So thanks for the suggestion, Stella.
My optimistic answer for Stella is it's good that you don't have a choice of things you don't want to listen to. You've got a tough choice between the two things you do want to hear. So an embarrassment of riches there.
Well, and to that point, Rob, the challenge that we face all the time is there really are even more than two networks worth of public radio programs that we could do just in talk shows alone. You know, on this show, we often hear requests for shows that people hear elsewhere that we don't have the opportunity to broadcast on WPR. And we keep looking at that. I've noticed a lot of stations announcing program changes in this January-February timeframe. And one of the reasons is that there are a lot of new offerings out there, some of which we've already picked up, like The Moth, but others which certainly are things that are on our radar as possibilities. And the challenge will be, what thing that someone loves now would have to go off or move or whatever if we did that? So we tend to move pretty thoughtfully through such changes.
Thanks a lot for the call, Stella, and I hope you can make that tough choice. We'll go now to Mary in Wauwatosa. Hi, Mary. Mary, you're on the air? She's not on the air. Mary says she doesn't like Q at 5 p.m., it looks like. She only sticks with it about 20% of the time, she says. So Q at 5 o'clock, Mike.
Well, I think that may be a topic question. The challenge, even just in a morning of the Joy Cardine show, is that there's three, sometimes four or five different topics. And if one of those doesn't capture you, then it's probably radio off. It might be, in some cases like Stella's, other radio station, which would be great to have that choice. But I understand that, and we certainly are monitoring feedback about Q. It's been on less than a year, but we are getting still lots of comments like that. Some of the folks say they love it. I think there's a bit of an age divide that younger people tend to like Q better than older people. But, you know, of course, every one of us is an individual, so that's only a generalization.
I always think it's interesting if you watch network television, say, sometimes the new show gets 3 weeks or a month before they pull the trigger and take it off the air if the ratings aren't there. You like your philosophy, maybe public radio's philosophy, give them a little room to breathe, see how they develop over time?
Well, more than a little room, really, unless there's an obvious disaster, because we really see things differently. For instance, the conversation that our corporate support folks would have with a business is fundamentally different when they're looking for a business to do one of those, you know, support for WPR comes from announcements. And that is that in a commercial broadcast world, and this makes sense to me, their job is to deliver audience to advertisers. That's how they have a business. And in the midst of it, you hope, and in many cases they do incredibly good programming that does that. But it's make or break. So that if that show, the TV show you gave an example of, is not drawing advertisers and really not drawing viewers to deliver that audience to an advertiser, then it's a dying proposition pretty quickly. But in a public radio context, the first order of business is to deliver programs to listeners. And that means there's time to see if something will gather popularity. And many times it does. Sometimes the staying power alone is amazing. Like, you know, Larry Mueller's been on for decades, quite literally, and remains from ratings period to ratings period always one of our top rated shows.
Thanks a lot for the call, Mary. I will get back to the phones now with Deborah in Madison. Hi, Deborah.
Yes. Sorry, I had to turn off. My question is, why is it, I too, like the woman who called just shortly before, I flip back and forth between AM and FM. Why on earth, though, is it that every Sunday for 3 hours there is a stranglehold on all channels, AM, FM, and rebroadcast of the folk music thing? I mean, for those of us who feel like we just survived the folk music scare of the 60s, you know, it's great that it's on, but really?
So you'd like an alternative?
Please.
And I'm curious, just think with us for a second. I'll answer the question a little bit and then tell me what alternatives you might like. But the original reason for it was that WPR's coverage areas around the state are very uneven. And in fact, higher ground, which is in many cases thought of as a news and classical network program, is on the Ideas Network on WHAD, because WPR only has one station in Milwaukee. And that's actually the same sort of story with the folk music. And so the idea was that that was an opportunity to share something that WPR was producing uniquely for the state that otherwise wouldn't be heard in our largest city. So tell me, Deborah, what are some things that you might like as an alternative if we figure that out ever?
Well, I like all things considered. I like, you know, sometimes I can't catch it when it airs, and I don't catch all of it, or just about any of the storytelling of Ira Glass's program. Even People's Pharmacy, or I mean, almost just about anything. Sometimes if I'm running errands on Saturday, I'm in and out of the car so much I don't get to hear all of those programs.
Right.
She wants a choice, not an echo, Mike.
That makes sense. And Deborah, thanks for the comment. And that is a fairly common question we get about anything that we're doing as a simulcast, to use the old word. And it's something we think about. And honestly, one of the things that we think about all the time is how could we increase service to Milwaukee? One of the ways we do that is that we have the only classical music in Milwaukee is on WHAD HD2. And so that is an area where we're finding more people picking up the HD radios and listening to classical music, because there isn't an alternative station for that in Milwaukee.
Talking to WPR Director Mike Crane, I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine. It's Mondays with Mike, your chance to ask questions, share your thoughts about Wisconsin Public Radio programming at 800-642-1234 or talk at WPR.org. And Mike, you had something to add?
I just didn't want to forget before we moved all the way from something I mentioned earlier. I gave the wrong web address for the Garden Expo, and that would be unfortunate. You'd find nothing if you went to the address I gave. So the Garden Expo, Larry Mueller is going to be there, and Stephanie Elkins and other folks, is at wigardenexpo.com. And so I encourage folks to look at that. It's just a really wonderful weekend. Thousands and thousands of people come and start thinking about spring.
Wisconsin Gardening Expo.
WIGardenExpo.com. I'm sure if you Googled it or Yahooed it or whatever, you'd find it as well.
.com, not .org. Check. Now, we have a pledge drive coming up later this month, and people will be able to pledge at WPR.org. When's that happening, Mike?
That's February 15th to 23rd, so this is more of our traditional longer pledge drive, not like the super mini drive
Micro,
we had in December. It'll be a big fundraiser, I'm sure. Hundreds of thousands of dollars raised to pay for public radio. And one thing that we are doing, though, is as an overall annual strategy, we continue to work hard on the idea of more programming, less on-air fundraising. Now, I know there are fans of on-air fundraising, and God bless you. And we try to make it as fun as we can and as interesting and so on. And we have really tremendously fun guests and interesting guests here on the Ideas Network during those pledge drives. But we also know that the money that you're sending in for that pays for the stuff that's on the rest of the year. And so one of the things that we're doing that's really different this year, and that I think will be a growing strategy for us, is we are very focused on sustaining memberships. And some people, in fact, have said, why are you talking about sustainers so much? Well, the reason we're talking about it is that it is so powerful in changing the fundraising environment for WPR and other stations, too, of course. The main points are it helps you to reduce on-air fundraising, because people are sending a regular check and you don't need to remind them to renew with another pledge or something like that. And think about your behavior with your annual giving. I know this is mine, so I can reflect on mine very accurately, that I don't really know when I made that contribution before. And so I might forget until month 13, 14, 15, 18, something like that. And so as I've understood the importance of sustaining gifts because you don't miss those months, I've started converting those gifts that I know I want to give every year to sustaining gifts with other charities. And it really does have a profound effect on the reliability of the funding for that charity or nonprofit in our case.
And I'm one of those people who didn't get it at first, but now I see it's really taking off. I mean, we're kind of ahead of schedule or what we thought we would be. A lot of people are embracing this idea.
Now, ironically, what it means is that the pledge drive's goals have to go down a bit.
And that's what I notice. And so I get bummed. Well, people aren't pledging as much. Well, yeah, they are, but they're doing it regularly all year.
That's exactly right. So you'll hear a lot about that during the pledge drive, of course, and we'll have some exciting challenges to get people to make their pledge and all that, all the usual sorts of things. And if you haven't already become a member or maybe done so even today online, then we hope you'll contribute during that pledge drive.
And behind the scenes, we'll come up with a plan to solve the egos of those of us who see lower numbers than we're used to on the
air. That's right.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan, Mike. We'll go back to the phones now with Jim in Fort Atkinson. Hi there, Jim.
Hi, Rob. I'd like to ask Mr. Crane why we lost 2 hours on Friday and Saturday night of Jazz with Bob Parlocha. There's little enough for those of us who love jazz, and I love smooth jazz in a subgenre, Brazilian smooth jazz. And I'm not going to ask for that to be programmed anywhere, of course, but smooth jazz is gone from the dial now, and we have jazz from you and WORT during the week that totals about 20 hours. I don't get WUWM out here in Fort Atkinson. I don't get WMSE. I don't know what kind of programming they have. And I just think it's very sad that those of us who love any kind of jazz are kind of left in the dark.
Yeah.
I'll hang up.
Thanks, Jim, for the call. And obviously, whenever we make a change, and the moving these programs later did cause the Friday change and then the additional hour of Higher Ground on Saturday, this is a challenge for jazz fans, including myself. I read recently that there are fewer than 100 jazz DJs in the country now. And Bob Parlocha being one of the most prominent, of course. And as Jim knows, Bob does an incredible job with his programs. And I think that the problem is that it's not for, certainly for the commercial stations, it long ago stopped being a ratings winner. There was a station in Milwaukee, in fact, that used to be the classical station that switched to smooth jazz, and then now they're country or something like that, because even the smooth jazz wasn't a winner for them. Now, we still think it's important. It's not unlike classical music in its importance to, if nothing else, the historical record. It's also important as a true American art form, which is why we have the Friday evening programs that we do, and then the overnights with Bob. I don't have a salve on the wound for that, Jim, to give you. I know that we lost that, we gained something else, and that is a challenge. There are some 24/7 jazz services that are online, but that may not be an option.
Thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate it. You can join in. A couple of lines have opened up at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio, is with us this hour for another 18 minutes or so. He'll answer your questions about our programming, about what's where it is and why. Again, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Rob Ferret. I'm filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret here, filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. After 10 with Kathleen Dunn, today is the 100th anniversary of the birth of Rosa Parks. A lot of times we hear just about that bus incident that sparked so much protest. But Kathleen's guest says Rosa Parks did a lot more to advance the cause of civil rights than just that one pivotal moment. That's coming up after 10. This hour, talking to Mike Crane. He's the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about the programming we have here, taking your suggestions and your questions at 800-642-1234 or email talk at WPR.org. We've got Paul in Elkhorn with us now. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Just to reiterate some other caller, first off, I gave Q a chance for the first month, maybe 2 months, and I just can't get into it, so I actually stopped listening to WPR on my way home and listened to something else, which I'd rather not. But anyhow, and the next thing is that what's going to be happening to Ben Marins' slot in the afternoon?
Well, as of now, it's going to continue with John Munson, and we don't have any immediate plans to change, but certainly when a change like that happens with an opportunity to hire a new host, that sort of thing, after John's fill-in time, we'll be thinking about all sorts of things. The afternoon programs are very important to us, and it's disappointing to hear, Paul, that you're not enjoying Q, that's something we'll be thinking about as well. Because in the long run, if people are tuning out, that's going to mean a weaker Wisconsin Public Radio, and our job is to make sure that it's strong and valuable to a large group of listeners. So as an example of something that we aren't changing right now, it's been wonderful, is the job line. And this Wednesday, John Munson will have the job line at the 3 o'clock hour of At Issue. And speaking of jobs, I want to mention that we have a job opening that maybe there's someone that you know that really might have the qualifications for this. But for the News and Classical Channel, we are looking for a new music director. And so they'll be in charge of supervising the folks that do Higher Ground, Simply Folk, all of our classical music, the Live from the Chazen, and the 24/7 classical channel that we have as well. And that opening is showing up now on WPR.org in the About WPR section.
And Mike, you'll call into Jobline to post that there as well, right?
Well, I think I just did in a way, but that is something. And that will be a national search because
it's a big deal.
Big deal, and people who have those skills, there certainly are some probably in the area, but it is a specialized set of skills to know classical music enough to schedule it and that sort of thing, and we look forward to that.
All right, back to the phones now with Jeff in Flambeau Flowage. Hi, Jeff.
Jeff, are you there?
Jeff, you're on the air? Jeff is not on the air. We'll try Judy in Beloit now. Hi there, Judy.
Oh, hi there. Good morning.
Hi.
My question is this. The signal for 90.7 is erratic in Beloit. It's staticky. Sometimes we can't get it at all. We can't hear it. And then sometimes it's strong. We can get WNIU fairly strong, but that's not the station I want to listen to. Mm-hmm. I want to listen to Wisconsin News.
Yeah,
can you fix that signal?
I don't know about fix it. The challenge is that it's at a pretty great distance from you. I know sometimes when I've been around that area, I'll pick up sort of randomly several different WPR stations, WHHI in Highland, for instance. Sometimes I've been able to pick up in Beloit. But it is also, obviously, if it's in Highland, at a great distance from you. Another option that might be a possibility is to try an HD radio and see if that doesn't get rid of the reception issues. But I couldn't be sure about that. That tends to work best when you're closer to the transmitter. Never know. That would be the toughest one.
That's always a tough one, Mike. I mean, obviously, we would love to be heard as radio people. We want to be heard.
Everywhere
in the state without any interruptions. But it's a tall order sometimes to reach those areas. Mm-hmm. Talk about the challenges in reaching them.
Well, every single station is licensed to a certain power, so we can't turn it up. Sometimes we have to turn it down for maintenance reasons, that sort of thing, but we can't turn it any more powerful. And so that in some ways you could think of it as that it can only be a certain power because it's protecting a station somewhere else from interference. And I'm forgetting WNIU's frequencies, but it could even be that that's the station that 90.7 is protecting by being only a certain power. And so sorry I don't have better news than that, Judy. You might have some luck with moving your antenna around. And here's the thing that a lot of people don't know, but like on a typical clock radio or kitchen radio, your power cord is actually also your FM antenna. And so sometimes just relocating the power cord can make a difference in your reception in a particular room.
Interesting.
Yeah. And some people do use the external antennas that you can plug into some of the higher end radios. And there are some radios that have better receivers than others, and sometimes that can help as well. Good luck with it. I'm sorry I can't help out more.
We've got to just change the laws of physics a little. We'll get the engineering department on that.
You know, it's funny that you say that because FM stereo is actually an example of an insight on the part of inventors that they could do something that before that seemed impossible. And I don't understand the math, but it's fun to ask an engineer, how did that work? And they basically describe how a lot of science is in developing new products and stuff is coming up with ways to do things that people thought was impossible before. That's how radio got invented, too. What can we do with these radio waves
sure.
that we've detected? And a lot of that was done right here. And there were stations in Wisconsin, most prominently WHA, but there was a station at Bolate College as well, very early in the development of radio.
Thanks for the call, and I hope you'll pick us up more often than not, at least. We'll go now to Walt in Fort Atkinson. Hi there, Walt.
Good morning. And speaking of science and physics, I like Science Friday quite a bit, but a lot of times I can't hear it on Friday at that time. I wonder if there's a way that you could repeat it over the weekend.
Oh.
I would enjoy that, and never had that happen before. I think it's probably worth it. And second, I'm just not all that fond of Q either, and that's really all I had to say this morning. So thanks a lot.
All right.
Have
thanks.
A good day.
Thanks for the suggestions, Walt.
Science Friday, great show.
It is, and they've just recently launched a new website I know they're really excited about. And, you know, originally the show was sort of like, well, we don't have the resources to do Talk of the Nation 5 days a week here at NPR without killing the hosts in long before Neil Conan. And so they invented the idea of doing a special show on Friday. And it used to be pretty prominently Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. Mm-hmm. And it's really become something we talk about as a separate show, Science
yeah.
Friday. And I agree, it's a great show. I'll add it to Mike Arnold's list as something to think about for weekends.
Thanks a lot for the call, Walt. We'll go now to Jeff in Madison. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. Hi, I just wanted to give my 2 cents on the programming change. I guess the way it has fit into my lifestyle, I've enjoyed listening to news on the way home, you know, around 5 o'clock and that, and I even like Marketplace when that came on. And then the transition into...
Fresh Air?
Fresh Air, yes. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed catching that even when my commute ran a little late. And then in the evening, to have the classical music start right around the dinner hour, I just really enjoyed how that fit into my lifestyle. And my second comment is just about the Canadian broadcasting shows as it happened. Not really a big fan of it. I find it kind of a vaguely relevant show.
Hmm.
And
too Canadian, eh?
So,
yeah.
So, Mike, what are these Canadian shows all about?
That's right. Well, the CBC is one of the most prominent public broadcasters in the world, second probably in terms of scale only to the BBC, mm-hmm. Because they have both national and local stuff in Canada. And they've had some of the really great ideas, and as it happens, is basically the model for All Things Considered. It preceded All Things Considered. Bill Simmering, who was one of the early NPR employees, heard that because he was in Buffalo and would listen to the Toronto station. And it was the original call-out program, as opposed to call-in, mm-hmm. that their legacy is that they had some amazing call-outs, like they got Idi Amin on the mm-hmm. phone on the show. You know, I understand that for some folks, too much of the discussion of what's going on in Parliament might wear them out. And they do actually edit the program for U.S. consumption. It's an hour and a half program in Canada and an hour program in the U.S. And the attempt is to include the things that are of more general interest. But I appreciate the comment from Jeff on that.
Thanks, Jeff. Here's an email from Mike in Bayview. I love the new WPR app. Excellently done. I did have one request. Would it be possible to add NPR's weekly It's All Politics podcast to the WPR app.
That's interesting. I don't think we've really talked about the idea of adding NPR's podcasts into the app. I might be possible. That I'll pass that along to the web folks.
And we have, that's another way to listen to public radio now. I've got the WPR app on my Android-compatible tablet and have listened successfully on many occasions. Are we seeing more people turn to their phone, their tablet for radio listening?
Oh, yes. After the holiday, we had a lot of people with their new iPhone or Android phone or whatever making use of the app. That's why we talked about it a lot in January, because we knew people would be looking for things to put on their new device. Now, of course, that also means that we have had more issues with the app because, you know, every single device for Android, for instance, is a little bit different. I know that a colleague of mine has been very frustrated that it isn't working for him on his device despite some trying different things. And I hope that we get that resolved for him because he was using it to exercise and get smarter in the process. But many, many people have been thrilled with it. And there is a help address that's on the app. It's Listener Interactive is the company that makes it, and they do provide help. Or also, you can email us here, and we'll provide that information to you.
Mm-hmm. And while we're on that subject of high-tech ways to hear Wisconsin Public Radio, I understand our website is due for construction, revisions, tweaks, or a complete overhaul. What's going on there?
A complete overhaul. And, you know, it's an incredibly powerful website. It was first launched back in the early 2000s. We were very early onto the web here at WPR. But like something that was invented at that time, as we've added things on, it has become harder to use, even though it's very powerful. And a ton of people use the archives in particular, and people want to know schedules and stations and so on, and listen live and so on. They do that. But the new website should be simpler to navigate and help people get directly to the things they want. And also, and this is a big deal in the age of people Googling things, it should be better for people to find things using search, even if they didn't come right to WPR at the start.
So that'll be something to watch for later this year?
Yes, within the next few months. We made a hard-nosed commitment to get that done because we know it's long overdue.
Time for one more call. We have Rachel in Delavan. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I really do like Q.
Okay.
Okay. What do you like about it?
Well, it's on when I'm making dinner, and it's most of the time it's pretty light, upbeat, and sometimes you get a little sick of listening to, you know, political stuff and depressing stuff all day. So I really enjoy it.
All right. Thanks for the call, Rachel. And then, again, this is the challenge. We've heard some people who really don't like Q. Rachel, big fan, for the exact reasons probably that some of the people don't like it, say they don't like it.
Yeah, that's right. And in terms of the what we've seen from the audience research reports, it's doing about as well as we might expect for a new show. It seems fairly popular. But like everything, subject to possible change, and we'll think about it carefully as we go.
Mike, just over a minute or so left. What's on your agenda? What's on your table for the next month or two?
Well, obviously the pledge drive is very much on my mind because that's always a big deal for us. And we're into, and this is probably boring, I'm sorry, but we're into the next budget cycle. And so we're really thinking about what are the priorities for the next year. And I know one of them is going to be continuing to strengthen our news effort because everyone knows that traditional hard-nosed news is under fire in terms of newspapers suffering from the loss of classified ads and so on. Mm-hmm. And we know that doing a good job with news for our state is something people really want from us, that they expect from us, and that we intend to provide and to seek support for. So that's probably top priority in the budget will be to continue to improve our news effort.
Because it's a crisis that is an opportunity in a way.
That's really right. And we know that that's part of what people count on, as well as always trying to improve everything we do.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot for joining us. We'll talk to you again next month.
Always great to be here.
That's Mike Crane. He's the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Send an email to talk@WPR.org, or what is it, audience@WPR.org, and they can pass along, listener@WPR.org, and they can pass along your comments. Thanks to Bill Martins for directing this hour. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster for handling your calls. Thanks to you, as always, for listening and for calling into these shows. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.